The pursuit of God doesn't stop when a believer gets saved. There is so much more to discover about a living and active God who is with us and in us. If you've ever thought to yourself, there has got to be more than this, you are in the right place. Welcome to the More of God, a safe place to explore the more.
So I am here today on the podcast with my good friend Nick Wright. Hi, Nick.
Hey, April.
So Nick is my little brother from another mother from way back when.
Cut that out.
You are my little brother from another mother. Come on.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So I've known Nick since he was 18 years. 18 years old?
Yes.
18 years old.
Well, we'll go with 19.
19, something like that. And he was a perfect angel all the time.
And that's a great episode.
That's a great episode. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. You have a great day. Okay. Getting serious now, getting my serious voice on. This month we are talking about God as Father, and I've asked Nick to share his story because he's got a very powerful testimony of how God has shown him who he is as Father. All right, so Nick, I would love for you to start by sharing a little bit about how you came to know God in the first place.
I'd love to. So I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday. As long as I can remember, when I was five, my mom had me pray the prayer and
the prayer,
Jesus come into my heart. Amen. And at that time it seemed like a good idea cause mom said so. So I went,
moms are never wrong.
They're not. but at that time it really didn't mean anything. It's what mom wanted me to do. So I was a good little kid and did it. And then kept going to church. I went to Crossroads, and then when I was 12, I went with the youth group to Crossroads Camp, and the speaker was Clayton King, and I remember they gave an altar call, and I felt God pulling on my heart, and that evening I went up and got saved.
So you get saved when you're 12 years old, and then you were in the church for a while?
Yes. So I kept, going to church pretty much every Sunday. Kept attending Crossroads, started actually going to youth group at Grace Community Church. And then when I was 18, I had a pretty rough experience with my father. It was probably a couple days before my high school graduation, and I had to go to graduation rehearsal. And I got a call from him asking me to come pick him up because he had blown a tire and was in a parking lot. I explained to him that I had to take my brother home and then go to graduation rehearsal, but that he could call AAA and that they'd take care of the blown tire since we had AAA. He got a little angry, hung up the phone, and then when I took my brother home, I saw my father there. And I assumed everything was just fine. The car apparently wasn't in that bad of shape. The next morning, woke up and he told me to take him to AutoZone or whatever car repair shop was close by. And on the way there, he didn't say anything. But on the way back, he started getting real angry with me. And when I went to pull in the driveway at home, he told me not to pull in. And he told me to get all of my things out of the house. And that if he ever saw me again, I would not enjoy what he would do to me. So I got my things and I left. And went to my youth pastor's house and lived on a couple different couches for about a month.
I know that's kind of where I met you, was a little bit right after that period of your life. And people often will say that the way that we view God as Father is often very related to the way that we view our own earthly fathers. So can you tell me, at that time of your life, did you have a differentiation between your own father and your heavenly father, or were you kind of putting that picture of what had happened to you onto Father God?
I never really, growing up, understood the idea of God the Father as a loving father. I thought he was someone that you always had to earn their love, and that's how I grew up. I remember we would have to do a morning routine to get breakfast. So we would have to do a certain number of push-ups, a certain number of sit-ups, and read a specific passage of scripture to get breakfast. That was constant. You know, it was always, you have to do perfect performance in order to not get in trouble. I remember in fifth grade, I got a B plus in math and got grounded for 2 weeks for not getting an A. Yeah. So it was, you know, certain things like that that really just kind of turned me off to the idea of God as a loving father. Right after that big event, me getting kicked out of the house, I pretty much for probably about a year, maybe a little bit more, didn't really want anything to do with God. I just was disappointed. I didn't understand what I understand now about how loving he is. And so I just started to go my own way. I looked at, you know, the party scene, alcohol, some drugs, nothing crazy.
Mom's listening.
She is, but she knows. And then I started, when we met, that's when I actually started getting back into trying to understand God.
You know, that's where you were when I met you. Mm. But I know that things have changed for you. So can you talk about how God has kind of shaped you over the last 10 years or so into understanding more who he is as Father?
Yes. So yeah, when we had met, that's when I started trying to pursue more of a relationship with God, understand him more. And it kind of became a cycle of, you know, I'll try a little bit. And then I wouldn't want to say I got bored, but it got kind of frustrating because I still had in me that performance mentality or the legalism, the meet certain criteria X, Y, Z in order to receive God's love or for God to love me. You know, read your Bible a lot. If I'm not reading my Bible every morning, then God doesn't love me. Or, you know, if I don't pray a specific way, or if I don't say dear Father or dear God, then, you know, I should have done that. God would have liked that more. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I did underage drinking back in the day. You know, God's probably really angry at me for that. Or I had these bad thoughts. God's angry at me. Mm-hmm. So it was that guilt and condemnation that Satan would throw at me that would get me to kind of cycle back into not being interested in a relationship with God.
So kind of running away from him because you thought he was mad at you.
Yeah, okay. A lot.
And so how has that changed?
When you can read in the Bible, you know, we just talked about Romans 8, that there's therefore no condemnation for anyone who's in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you read in John 5 that the Father judges no one, but he gives the right to judge to Jesus. I always viewed God as like an angry God. You know, you read about him in the Old Testament. And
he's going to smite you.
Smite, yes. That's the exact word I was thinking of. He seems angry and not someone I want to relate to and, you know, not someone I want to make angry. But when I read this verse, it helped me relate to God as Father because he just told me he's not going to judge me. He doesn't view me through the eyes of what I've done wrong. He views me through the eyes of I'm redeemed because Jesus died for me.
Woohoo!
Yay! Both of those were just super eye-opening to me. I remember hearing that read to me, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. This idea that I have to meet criteria to earn his love, or he's going to judge me, and he's going to deem me unworthy. It shattered when I heard that verse. And then, you know, I have a friend in Michigan who we like to read certain books or read the Bible together, and he's really helped me along the way learn about my identity in Christ, what it means to have a loving God, what the gospel is. It's just been amazing. And then going to Hope Chapel, I remember going to a men's retreat in the mountains, and we talked about our identity and how when Christ forgives you of your sin, he doesn't view you through the lenses of sin anymore. He views you as his redeemed child. Mm-hmm. And we are co-heirs with Christ, and you know, if you just get in the Word and read what the Bible says about you, your identity is right there. It's the way God views you is perfect, blameless, redeemed by Christ's blood. And I love what Bill Johnson says, is you can't afford to have a thought about yourself that God doesn't have about you. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the way God views me, he doesn't view me as a sinner. He doesn't view me as dirty. He He views me as someone made in his image, someone that Christ redeemed. That's amazing. Getting to know God as a father has been kind of a long process, just because of the way I grew up relating to my earthly father and dealing with years of rejection. It made me have to battle a mindset of, you know, my earthly father is supposed to love me, but he rejects me. My heavenly father is going to reject me too. And it's taken a long time to get to the realization that he doesn't reject me. Mm-hmm. And I love it that, you know, the Bible said he never leaves us, never forsakes us. Mm-hmm. So he's been there with me every step of the way. And that's unfathomable. One of the big events that I remember was going to church in Michigan, and I don't remember what the speaker was talking about, but at the end he gave an altar call for anyone who wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And that was something I had been curious about. And he said, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, come on up. And I don't think it was me that pulled me out of my seat, but I was, you know, one of the first people down there, and yeah, probably knocked some people over to to get there. But he prayed over us. We received the Holy Spirit, and they took us in the back room and told us about praying in tongues and prayed over us there. And I remember they're saying, you know, you're going to feel something like you have an utterance, and it has to come out, and you just have to let it out. And I remember the feeling, but when I opened my mouth, I would try to like control it, and it would just be like, and they're like, no, just let it out. You don't do anything. You just let it out. And then finally I was able to actually let it out. And I was like, what am I saying? You're not supposed to know, I guess.
Yeah.
But, that was really encouraging. Just, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's our helper. And, you know, it's a speaking in tongues is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. So that helped me connect to the Father more. It's a free gift. There's nothing I had to do to earn it.
I think it's kind of cool too, because, you know, in Luke 11, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's kind of cool that you know, that gift from the Father was exactly what he's talking about there. And that's what mm-hmm. kind of increased your understanding of his love for you. And
yeah.
Sweet. Cool.
Another thing that happened was my first mission trip with Hope Chapel. So we went down to Tizimin, Mexico, and I was leading worship on the trip, and we went to have a kind of just a night of worship for ourselves. And I remember we were singing Good, Good Father, and I had to give my testimony. God just told me that.
So good.
I had to give my testimony. And it just started coming out, and I remember crying like a baby, and it was just freeing to tell people what I had been through, but also know that how I had viewed God is not who he is, but he is an extravagant lover of his children. And it seemed to release freedom to other people to talk about their testimonies.
Definitely.
And that was very encouraging.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I love how, too, when we go through something, like, God doesn't waste any of it, and he's using it to help people who are in that same situation and kind of, like you said, release freedom in them as well. So thinking about who you were back then, and the struggles that you had with knowing who God really was as Father, like, if you were talking to somebody, somebody's listening to this podcast, and they struggle with understanding God as Father, if they think of him as judge, if they think of him as, you know, I have to do all these things to earn his love, what are some advice that you would give them, or that you would have wished you had back when you were in that position?
The first thing I would say would be, don't feel like you're alone. And the Bible says he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. The second thing I would say would be to open your Bible. I wish I had done this years ago. Open your Bible and read Romans, read the Gospels, read Hebrews. Just read it. It'll tell you exactly who God is. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We all can quote that verse in our sleep, but Do we believe it? That he actually, do we believe that first part? We know, we believe that, you know, Jesus died on the cross, but do we believe it's because God loved the world? I think a lot of people don't.
Well, one of the things you mentioned too was reading the Gospels, and I think a lot of people might think, well, there's not, is there stuff about the Father in there? But he says, like, Jesus says, if you've seen me.
Yeah, you've seen the Father.
You've seen the Father. So reading the Gospels and you see the way that Jesus loves people and the way that he sacrifices and the way that he heals and the way that he just gives of himself.
He says he does the will of his Father. Mm-hmm. And if you take that to heart, then that means the Father wants all those things for his children. Mm-hmm. He wants the healing more than you do. Mm-hmm. He wants your salvation more than you do. He wants to know you more than you want to be known.
He loved us first.
Yeah.
One of the things I love to ask people is, and I love the different answers that I get every time I ask this, is thinking about God. What are some descriptive words that you would use based on your experience?
The first one would be extravagant. It's Ephesians where he says God can give us more than we ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. We can't understand how much God loves us. And no matter how good you think God is, he's way better. Mm-hmm. Your perfect picture of God falls short. The second would be he's faithful. You know, I've mentioned a couple of times, but he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He sees you through your darkest days and your brightest days. He's always there. And third, I'm thinking about the story of the prodigal son and how the prodigal son, he took his inheritance and cursed his father and left. And then he went and joined up with the world and found himself with nothing. And in a lowly state, he determined to go back to the father, but to take a lowly position of servant just to get his needs met. But while the father was waiting, he saw him. He was watching for him, and he ran to him and welcomed him back. And instead of giving the son just what he needed, which would have been more than he deserved, he welcomed him back to the family, gave him a ring and a robe and a party. But the significance of that is, you know, the robe is to welcome him back as part of the family, but the ring is also to give him authority. And so even if you have left, even if you have joined the world or cursed the father, he's waiting for you to come back. He's waiting to give you the authority, give you blessing, give you more than you deserve so that you know you're his child.
Well, thank you, Nick, for sharing your story. I like to have people close, if you would, by just praying for the listeners. Anything you feel led to pray?
All right. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Father, I thank you for your open arms. And God, I ask for anyone listening that is hurt. Maybe they've been hurt by a parent, been hurt by abuse. They felt neglected. They felt dirty. They felt that they betrayed you, or maybe they felt betrayed by you. Father, I pray for light to shine on their hearts. I pray for your peace to overcome them. I pray for your love to wrap around them. And I pray that they turn and see your beautiful face, just welcoming them back. Let them know you. Let them know your love. Let them experience it. Let them taste and see that you are good. We love you. We praise you. Amen.